This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for joining us. Like most other cities in the country, Detroit went on a decades-long infrastructure project that built our freeways and highways that carved the city up and made it easy to get from downtown Detroit to the furthest flung suburbs you could imagine. But that construction and that long infrastructure project also did a lot of damage. It did damage to neighborhoods that mostly were African American, and it did so without regard to the damage it was doing. No one really stopped to think, what are we destroying in order to create? This is how we got I-375 and how we lost Black Bottom, for instance. But it's also how we got all the other freeways in the city and how we lost many, many neighborhoods. As you may know, the city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, and the federal government are now trying to undo some of these past harms and remove I-375 in particular from the city. It will likely be replaced by a six-lane boulevard with wider sidewalks, bike lanes, other amenities, and it will include green stormwater infrastructure. Recently, state and federal officials, including U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, gathered near I-375 to announce a $104 million grant to the Michigan Department of Transportation to speed up this process. We've been talking about this for about 5 or 6 years now. This money is meant to move things along. So the question is, how fast will I-375 disappear? And what exactly will come in its place? Also, how will it transform that area? Who will be directly helped by that change? And is this going to connect to the effort to figure out how to repay in some way the families, the communities that were deeply harmed by the building of this expressway? That's where we want to continue the conversation on Detroit Today. And to talk about this, we've got Jeff Cranson with us. He is the Director of Communications for the Michigan Department of Transportation. Jeff, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks, Stephen. You said, I think, going into the segment that we'd be changing subjects, but there's actually a lot of tie into what you were previously discussing when it comes to equity and housing and generational wealth.
Absolutely, yes. So let's start with the money. $100 million is a lot of money. What does that bring the total to, I guess, with regard to this I-375 project? And how much faster will this money make the project happen?
So the total for construction now is estimated at about $270 million. There's another $30 million involved in engineering costs. So we're talking about a $300 million project in total. Getting this grant, this significant grant, means that construction engineering and design work is underway now. In fact, the project manager yesterday couldn't be at that announcement with Secretary Buttigieg because he was already leading a design meeting. They're like, you know, full speed ahead on that. And that means that construction can start in 2025 instead of 2027 and probably be done by 2028. So, yeah, this grant is significant. It's one of two major milestones this year. As you know, the federal government back in the spring gave us a finding of no significant impact, meaning that environmental clearances were done to go ahead and make this conversion. So, yeah, it's a significant grant.
Mm. So before we go back to history, I want to talk about the future in this space and what it will be and why MDOT and other agencies believe that this will be a better use for that area. Talk about what we will end up with when this is done and why it benefits that part of town.
You know, I think that a lot of people say you can't undo the mistakes of the past, and that's almost become cliche, right? I mean, one, because it's an axiom. And some people say, if you can't, then, you know, why are you trying? And it's like, well, I think acknowledging those mistakes in itself is a huge deal. Even if none of us are personally responsible, we've got to do something about it. You know, it's no different than taking down, Civil War monuments or, you know, anything that once, glorified people that did those kinds of things. So I think that both in terms of practical value, the connectivity for people from the east side of the city to downtown, to the cultural attractions, to the sports attractions. You mentioned the bike paths and pedestrian sidewalks. This would be so much more walkable. That area of the city was cut off, and it won't be anymore. The development, the involvement of the community, and the advisory board that will be set up, and getting all kinds of people, plain old folks in the neighborhood, to weigh in on what they want in that corridor going forward, and what the economic development looks like. You know, those things didn't go on in the 50s and the 60s mm-hmm. when freeways were being built. This kind of robust public involvement is going to mean, and I really believe it's going to mean, that the citizens have a say in what things look like.
Yeah. I'm talking with Jeff Cranson. He's the Director of Communications for the Michigan Department of Transportation. We're talking about I-375 mm-hmm. being redeveloped, essentially being undeveloped, filled in and replaced with a street level scape of some dimension as a way of undoing the harm that freeway did when it was built through the middle of neighborhoods that were majority African-American here in the city. We want to hear from you as well, what you think about I-375 and the changes planned there. What would you like to see go into that space? Did you grow up in that area? What would you do to repair the harm that was caused to the people who were displaced by I-375 and by freeways all across Detroit? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. We've already got a couple social media comments I want to add to the conversation. Big Neo says funds for the I-375 project should go to fairly repay families and business owners who were removed when the original project started. The record still exists, so it shouldn't be hard to find the descendants. Jeff on Twitter says, I would prefer that they fill in I-375 and lay out streets as they were before the freeway was built. It would be an acknowledgement of what was lost. I also want to quickly go to a caller who has a similar point before we go back to Jeff Cranson. Tim in Detroit, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to, first of all, they say that it was a mistake, but wasn't that government policy to destroy all the black business communities in major cities around the country?
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened everywhere, that's for sure, and I'm not sure that the government has ever acknowledged that it was intentional, but certainly it was consistent in cities all across the country. Jeff, these questions about how to make some of the people whole who were damaged, who are harmed by this, and what to do with that space, I think are really connected. The idea of rebuilding a neighborhood there seems to me to be a start on the way to trying to figure out how to make this right. These plans look a little different from that, but talk more generally about how much of a priority the look back and the attempt to do right is part of this project.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a priority, and I think you're right about, when we do need to look back. I know that we like to say, you can't change the past, so let's look at what we can do in the future. But part of this is looking back and understanding the history and, what the point the caller just made. Defining that as government policy might be difficult and might be controversial, but to understand this project in particular, you've got to go back to 1949 when, Albert Cobo became mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that he took on as part of policy, city policy, to urban renewal. It was called urban renewal. It had all kinds of positive terms, but you know what the end result was. And that was long before they even started building I-375.
Right.
So that was just one more straw, I guess, in what was already a camel's back breaking in those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do going forward? I think, you know, like I said, we have to involve the community. We have to talk about whether it's housing equity, whether it's business equity, recreational opportunities, all kinds of things. And part of that has to be some kind of history, some kind of museum, something that pays tribute to those thriving neighborhoods that were destroyed and that loss of generational wealth. It's certainly not something for me or the DOT to get into in terms of you know, how to repay that. But, you know, that's certainly a fair conversation to have.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen on social media since this announcement a lot of fretting about the pace here being picked up and whether that speed will subdue some of the conversation and some of the effort to really figure out how to make this a remunerative project as opposed to just a redevelopment. Is that a reasonable fear?
I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Everybody wants everything done as quickly as possible, especially when you're inconvenienced by construction. As you know, Metro Detroit, you know, you can't go anywhere without seeing road work this year, which in the long term will be a good thing, but in the short term, it inconveniences all of us. So speeding it up for the sake of convenience is one priority, but also making sure that everybody is heard. And, you know, there's a difference between everybody getting what they want and everybody being heard. Mm-hmm. I think that the least we can ask for, though, is that everybody has a chance to offer their point of view. And I think MDOT and their consultant, their lead consultant, HNTB, are going to do everything they can, and the city's part of that too, to make sure that anybody with a stake in this, you know, has a say.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go back to phones here. Perry in Detroit. Perry, what's on your mind? Are you there, Perry? Go ahead.
The obvious question is, can you unring a bell? Can you put toothpaste back in the tube? I mean, personally, I think it's a joke. I'm one that's old enough to remember that community. I mean, will they restore the wealth that was there? Will they restore the African-American culture that was destroyed? I mean, it just seems to me that if they want to do something, why not put those funds into restoring communities that's right now in Detroit that's devastated? I'm just amazed that, you know, is this just going to be another gentrified community? What exactly are they going to do to restore the equity that was there?
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to go back and find the descendants, the relatives of the black business owners, the black families whose homes were destroyed, whose businesses were destroyed and restore them, or what?
Exactly
is this going to be?
It's a great question. It's a great question, Perry. And I don't think we have all the answers yet, but Jeff Granson, talk about how we go about determining how to do exactly what Perry's talking about doing.
I think that Mayor Duggan is very sincere in his commitment to make sure that there is equity going forward. And yeah, I mean, your caller's overall point is a good one. Yeah, you can't unring that bell. But just because we can't unring that bell, do we do nothing? Do we do nothing in that corridor, in that neighborhood? I mean, that's the kind of federal grant program that was available, and that's, you know, what MDOT applied for, and it's significant. It says something about what they think is happening in Detroit and what can happen. That was the fourth highest grant of all those grants that were announced across the country in the past couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, it is about priority, right? And so, I mean, I was born near the corner of Grand River and Livernois in 1970, and in 1973, I-96 came through that corridor and divided our neighborhood right in half, and both sides of that neighborhood have never been the same. I mean, they've never recovered from that. I mean, you can go all over the city and find neighborhoods that still exist that were damaged by freeways. Obviously, this is not money that can go to fix that, but it is the kind of thing that we need to be talking about in terms of how do we fix it? How do we make people whole for damage that was done. I want to get to one more caller before we have to break. Lori in Detroit, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Uh-huh. I think I appreciate the mindset of let's let everyone be heard, but that never yields tangible results. I agree with you. There are families that lost legacy, that lost immediate homes, that while some residents were anticipating the completion of a freeway because their commute would be easier, other people were fretting because they didn't have a place to live mm-hmm. or for their kids to go to school. Why isn't there funding put in place that targets the type of community that was disrupted, rather than we're building spaces that really caters to the gentrified neighborhoods that are coming into play? And so there has to be a place where we go beyond ideas and thoughts, and let's try to where people who lost tangible property, relationships, rights, get tangible recompense.
Yes.
There has to be monies to those families, to those people. It's not enough to put in green spaces where everyone can buy. What can I do for the community that was disrupted that targets their needs and their culture specifically to get them recovered
yeah.
from what they lost?
No question, Lori. And look, our city has got a reparations commission for the first time that's starting to look at a lot of these questions, and hopefully we'll focus on not just areas around I-375, but areas like my home neighborhood and the other places where African-Americans were so disrupted. Okay, Jeff Cranston of the Michigan Department of Transportation, always great to have you here. We look forward to seeing what happens with I-375. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah.
It's going to do it for us today. Come back Monday when we're going to be joined by Jessie Singer about her new book, There Are No Accidents, and how so much blame for our own mistakes can be attributed to the built environment. Also, get out and check out the Detroit Auto Show, which opens tomorrow. We'll talk again on Monday.